Dominic Broomfield McHugh points out that at the opening of Puccini's Tosca, we hear a theme that will later come to be associated with the Baron Scarpia, the chief of police. The boldness of the music makes us sit up, announcing that this is a heightened kind of music drama. In other words, it's an opera. He moves on to You'll Never Walk Alone, trending as the hashtag YNWA on social media as the result of Liverpool FC's triumph in the Premiership. It's easy to forget that the song was originally written for an opera singer to perform, Christine Johnson of the Metropolitan Opera in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel, 1945. But why would a commercial Broadway musical evoke opera through its production, casting, or writing? The answer to the question might partly be an operatic plot, a summary of the key themes of Carousel: suicide, violence, poverty, passion, redemption, jealousy, immediately telling us that we're in operatic territory, if not exactly in opera. That, no doubt, explains why one of the first people to want to turn Ferenc Molnár's play Lilium into an opera was none other than Puccini, the composer of Madama Butterfly, La Boheme, and Tosca. Molnár turned Puccini down for a very specific artistic reason. He famously explained that if Puccini turned Lilium into an opera, the work would forever be remembered as a masterpiece by Puccini, and Molnár's original play would disappear into obscurity. He pointed out that this exact fate had already befallen Henri Mouget, whose original stories became completely overshadowed by Puccini's operatic adaptation, La Boheme. In fact, we're told that Molnár held on to this protective stance for his play for decades, similarly turning down musical adaptation requests from other major 20th century composers, including Kurt Weill and George Gershwin. Late in his life, after fleeing Europe for New York, Molnár finally relented. After seeing the Broadway smash hit Oklahoma, he was so impressed by the theatrical storytelling of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II that he finally granted them the rights. The result? Rodgers and Hammerstein adapted the play into their masterpiece, Carousel, transforming Budapest into a 19th century New England coastal town and turning the character of Lilium into Billy Bigelow. Stephen Sondheim famously described the extended duet sequence from Carousel, collectively known as the bench scene, which features the song If I Loved You, as probably the single most important moment in the evolution of contemporary musicals. As a protege of Oscar Hammerstein II, Sondheim deeply admired the innovative construction of this specific scene. He praised it because it seamlessly blurred the lines between spoken word and song. Rather than a traditional musical where dialogue stops and a song abruptly begins, If I Loved You functions as an integrated musical scene. The characters Billy Bigelow and Julie Jordan weave naturally between spoken lines, underscoring music, and fully sung operatic melodies to mirror their conversational flow.
Ain't you scared of me? I mean, after what that cop just said about me taking money from girls.
I ain't scared.
Is that your name, Julie? Julie, something?
Julie Jordan.
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. Ain't you sorry that you didn't run away? You can still go if you wanna.
I reckon that I care to choose to stay.
While Carousel was occasionally referred to as a problem play or problem musical in localized theater circles, such as a 1996 review in the Sun Sentinel following the definitive 1992 Royal National Theatre revival, the literal phrase problem play, borrowed from Shakespearean criticism, began seeing widespread prominent adoption in the mainstream press starting around 2014-2015. Critical commentary historically shifted from viewing it as a traditional Golden Age romance to categorizing it alongside complex, morally ambiguous works due to its depiction of domestic abuse and unearned redemption. In 2015, the term solidified further when academic and theatrical circles began discussing the Carousel problem in essays analyzing the musical through a transcendentalist lens. By the time the high-profile 2018 Broadway revival arrived in the heat of the Me Too movement, major outlets like Vulture and the New York Post codified its standard public description as a classic but structurally problematic musical. And yet, theater companies and opera companies have been reluctant to find the musical irredeemable. And here is just one instance of the way the Midland Center for the Arts in Michigan wrestled with its choice to produce Carousel in the 2020s. Director Dexter Brigham explains to their audience, as we get ready to present our concert staging of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, it's important to reflect back on our collective journey with this play, both here at the center and within the American community at large. I first directed Carousel in 2012, and while I was aware of the musical's identity as an early masterpiece of the Broadway canon, I was struck by how the play seemed ambivalent about domestic abuse. Julie's oft-quoted line from the show appeared to be a troubling example of romanticized victimhood. This brought us some tough questions as we began to prepare the show. Fortunately, as the cast dove deeper into the play, we discovered a simple truth. Our collective impulse to dismiss Rodgers and Hammerstein's plays as happy-go-lucky, all-American fare from a simpler time has caused us to miss the point of Carousel. Carousel is not a love story. Let me say that again. Carousel is not a love story. At least at Midland, we've come to believe that Carousel is intended to be the story of a damaged, angry young man who hurts everyone around him and how he learns that the damage he inflicted has continued to reverberate long after he leaves the earth. Julie's line isn't intended to dismiss the abuse, but is rather a heartbreaking depiction of how victims often reconcile their love for their abuser. Just one theater company coming to terms with its decision to mount Carousel in our day. Northeastern Pennsylvania has come to know and respect the Scranton Shakespeare Festival, which is entering its 15th summer season this year. And we've learned along the way how much respect for the power of theater in our lives as humans the company has. We've come to understand they love nothing more than chances to make us laugh, to recognize ourselves in characters the company members bring to life each summer, and when they believe it warranted, they will build a season that includes a play or a musical that may inevitably challenge us as members of the audience to wrestle with our humanity. And so it is with season 15. Founding artistic director Michael Bradshaw Flynn will direct the musical Carousel, which opens this Friday, June 26th. Also on the schedule, Henry V by Shakespeare, St. Joan by George Bernard Shaw, Jesus Christ Superstar, plus Alice by Heart, and Much Ado About Nothing, to be presented by the Scranton Shakespeare Festival Youth Ensemble. Michael Bradshaw Flynn, Jonathan Stevens, managing director, and Lizzie Newcomb Gamula, director of education, stopped in at the WVIA studios to reflect on both past and present, and to talk with us about what we'll have the chance to experience this year. Michael.
Scranton Shakespeare Festival is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that is entering its 15th season of professional theater. We offer free Shakespearean productions as well as another classic of George Bernard Shaw. We also offer affordable musicals, and most of the programming takes place in a 9-week period. That's our summer season, but we're excited to say that in the last few years, we've expanded our programming to be pretty much year-round.
How do you account for the fact that you have been able not just to sustain your efforts, but to grow?
I think it is in large part to two different things, but ultimately the same thing, and that's the people. It's the team that we create with. It's the amazing people sitting around this table with us. It is our board of directors, our production supervisor, our amazing team of stage management, and the company of actors are just so hardworking, whether it's our local contingency or the people who are just being introduced to Scranton for the first time this year, really are conducive to a wonderful creative environment. And I'd also say it's the audience and the local businesses that support us, whether it's an in-kind sponsorships for printing or allowing us residency to have a theater space at the Marketplace at Steamtown or one of our new venues, the Church of the Good Shepherd. These are all things that make it possible to not only come back year after year, but allow us the footing to continue to grow, expand, try new things, fail, succeed. It's because of, I think, the people that we all keep coming back and doing this over and over again.
And you have been a familiar face at this table for quite some time, Jonathan.
I have.
Why do you keep coming back?
That's a great question. I think to build upon what Michael said, the people. The people are very special. And when you find a family, a creative family that you love to create things with, I think that's really special. And you want to gravitate towards it and you want to stay there. So I think it really has enticed me to come back year after year. And also just seeing the reaction from the audiences when we as a creative family get to show what we've made, seeing how the audience takes it and run with it. And it's magical.
I remember being at this table with people from a production of Spring Awakening and how it was so moving to see young people so excited about a show and understanding not, I want to be a star, that's why I'm doing it. They really had a sense of theater, and it wasn't, I think, that they were necessarily, although many of them were, coming in with that sense, but you all work hard to help them understand the beauty of the art of theater and the power of theater.
Yeah, I mean, our education programming has, I think, allowed us, Michael, Jonathan, and I, to kind of create the camaraderie in the next generation that we started with. And it's really special because when I was growing up and first started at Scranton Shakes, I was 16. And now here we are 11 years later, and I look at the 16-year-olds in our productions and think, well, first of all, how the time flies and how we feel old, but also how it's so special to see this next generation move forward and move up. And it looks like they just have so much more grace than I felt like I had when I was 16, which is just so empowering. And I feel like it inspires us daily to keep doing what we do, for sure.
We talked about the unusual concept of the way you do your seasons. It's not 10 weeks of Hamlet and then you do another 12 weeks of Carousel. You have these shows coming on, starting out, and it's a particular model of doing theater.
Totally. It does sort of harken back to the American repertory and also Shakespeare's rep company. I mean, they were doing one show one night, and then the next night they were all sort of learning their lines to do another show. This sort of organization started with the parameters that we were given by the University of Scranton. So essentially it was, you've got these 8.5, 9 weeks to have housing for out-of-towners. And so those were the conditions. And then what we found was, in order to attract the stellar talent that we do attract, we have to sort of be able to offer them a little bit more. And then we found that, you know, even though we operate on a very lean budget, that we were getting better quality performers and talent joining our company because I think they were enticed by the challenge and sort of the rigorous commitment that it was. So even though they weren't perhaps walking away with the biggest of checks, they were at least walking away with some solid credits on their resume afterwards.
And you have not abandoned the notion that Shakespeare, which is in your name, is a key to what you do every summer.
That is correct. We are really excited that we not only have professional Shakespeare happening, but also for the last, this is going on 4 seasons now, that we've had the youth ensemble performing a fully staged Shakespearean production as well. That is not, you know, cut down to an hour. They are sinking their teeth into the Shakespearean text, which is so exciting, and they do such an impressive job. And this year we are sort of veering, you know, we're doing one Shakespeare with the professional company, but we're also doing George Bernard Shaw, who came a few hundred years after, but is still considered a classical text. And we're excited for that because I think there's been a lot of enthusiasm from our audience, but it is certainly no surprise that Shakespeare is a hallmark to what we do. But I think when we study Shakespeare, we learn that, you know, not only was he insanely talented writer, but he was a producer, right? He was an actor, he was a director, even though they didn't have that profession back then. So I think the spirit of the organization, even when it comes to dealing with musical theater or, you know, straight contemporary plays, there is still a spirit of Shakespeare in what we're doing outside of Shakespearean classics.
Jonathan, what has it meant to have a home at the market at Steamtown? You have a place now, a black box or wonderful space that is yours to use. What does that mean in many ways?
Yeah, it's, without being over the top, it's everything. Because to have an anchor that exists 365 enabled us to move outside of the 9-week window of us existing in a park in the summer. And so it really enabled us to step up and think about how we program shows all year round. How do we involve the team all year round? How do we engage actors from out of town and locals all year round? And so it's really been able to open many more doors than just the summer.
Tell us about the church that you mentioned.
Wow. The Church of the Good Shepherd. This has really been, I mean, a gift from above, I guess. The space is wonderful. We are looking to kind of renovate it slightly because it's a little old and dusty, but it's perfect for what we need. It's a bigger venue. It's less like a black box theater and more a classic proscenium, but obviously you can use it for whatever you want. We have a great imagination, a great team. So we do love cooking up other ideas. But yeah, it's having a secondary space is enabling us to really kind of get that additional capacity, because the Shake space, while it's amazing, it is limited in size, and some of our musicals attract a fair amount of people. So the Church of the Good Shepherd is going to really enable us to, again, offer our programming to more people.
Tell us more about the educational program. Do you try deliberately to have youth ensemble in the summer and in the winter?
So the youth ensemble program has kind of expanded a bit in that we do nurture our high school students over the summer. They produce 2 fully mounted productions, a Shakespeare and a musical production. And that's really kind of the pre-conservatory style that we've been dealing with, preparing them for college, preparing them to be an active citizen. But then we decided, we had a lot of alumni who were interested in coming back the last time I was here, Erica, right, to talk about Spring Awakening. And the past 2 winters, we've actually engaged with the alumni who now are pre-med or traveling abroad in Italy for the fall semester and are zooming into rehearsals and then fully producing a musical in basically their interim period of their college break. So we do engage still in kind of that educational model. It's definitely social emotional learning based. We have a lot of team building and confidence skills that we like to pass along through theater. So yes, the youth ensemble has kind of become more than just even a pre-professional program. It's become like a postgraduate experience as well that Our students join our main stage company. Our college graduates have performed as Gypsy Rose Lee, have performed in leads in our Shakespeare's, have been swings and understudies and junior producers. So I think the most exciting thing is when we get to retain those students and they join us as either a staff member or an alum or still performing locally or performing internationally. We're really lucky to engage with them even after they graduate the program.
Well, we cannot keep the listeners waiting any longer. Tell us what's on hand for 2026 summer.
Sure thing. So we open the season with the youth ensemble production of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. And then our main stage company will be doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical Carousel, followed by George Bernard Shaw's St. Joan. The weekend after that, we'll be doing Shakespeare's Henry V. And then the weekend after that, we'll be doing Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's rock musical that sort of changed the game, Jesus Christ Superstar. And then the week after that, we do all of those main stage shows one more time, as well as Much Ado About Nothing. And then finally, we wrap it all up with our youth theater ensemble's production of Alice by Heart.
I always like to cut right to the chase with you, Michael, because you think so well about the reverberations of Shakespeare for us today. Talk to us about the King.
Henry V? Sure. So one of the themes that we looked at exploring for the season as a whole when it came to this 15th season, which was a bit of a landmark, was faith. Just because I feel like we're in rather turbulent times, and it just felt like that was perhaps a theme that might need a little exploration as we're sort of viewing things with a global and national perspective. And that sort of tied itself really nicely to community as well. In Henry V, a lot of the themes that we're sort of playing with are faith that one has to their country, you know, the divine right of kings. So, of course, our leadership is anointed by God in this opinion. But I think a lot of the things that our brilliant director, Calvin Atkinson, is exploring with this production in regard to faith is what we're being told to do by our leaders and having faith in those leaders and those decisions and sort of questioning that, as well as the role of our elders, our parents. And once we sort of take the reins over, if, you know, we think those decisions are the decisions that are best for our people, our kingdoms, or if it's perhaps something that requires a change of heart or a different approach. So those are sort of the main themes of faith that we're implementing in Henry V. Beautiful play, tons of stage combat, which has been really exciting. Today they've been working with a really phenomenal fight choreographer, Dan Rankin, who's been joining us for a few seasons. You know, takes time out of his busy schedule to join us from Manhattan and all of the different Shakespeare companies that he works for to really build some beautiful fights. But it's really a beautiful story. We deal a lot with the sort of battle between the French and the English. But, you know, there was a Timothée Chalamet remake where they took out a lot of the poetry of the story. And we're really excited to allow that Shakespearean language. And coincidentally, St. Joan. Joan of Arc, that storyline also sort of follows a very similar vein in history. So even though they aren't exactly consecutive, there is a lot of similar lineages that are spoken about and dealt with, which I think will be fun for audiences in a sort of historical, dramaturgical sense.
While the youth ensemble is working so hard to prepare the youth productions, do they have a chance to come and watch the fight preparation, for example?
So yeah, part of our programming includes not only students going into rehearsals and observing, but also bringing those artists to our rooms. So we do artists in residency programs that kind of follow along that education of not just acting, but showing them about dramaturgy and design, showing them about playwriting, comedy. We're bringing in a bunch of artists from Philadelphia this season and from all over the country, really, our former alumni from the festival, which is, I think, in this season especially exciting. We're also planning a gala, which has been a lot of fun. So bringing those alumni back has been a really lovely trip down memory lane and seeing where those people have gone in their careers, like HBO Max or to, you know, Broadway. It's been really exciting for our students, especially to see the talent that has come out of this festival as like an incubator.
Tell us about the choice of Carousel.
So speaking with a bit about our audience, I think something that we look at is, you know, what our repertoire has been in the last 15 years. And we've done a ton of musicals. We just counted today. We did 26 Shakespeare's in 15 years' time. And it was very clear that we have not done a Rodgers and Hammerstein production yet. And we started to evaluate which one. And I think when we came to the show Faith, it just felt very relevant with the signature iconic song that has started as an aria and then has sort of become a football club chant. I think it's Manchester, but I'm not sure. I think they all sing
it. Oh, You'll Never Walk Alone.
But You'll Never Walk Alone is sort of the big chant. But it is definitely a show that requires a lot of care. I mean, the other wonderful thing about this production is it not only has an absolutely breathtaking, gorgeous orchestration, which not only is going to have some professional musicians playing, but another amazing component of our youth education outreach is that there is actually going to be a youth orchestra program. So there are a lot of student musicians playing alongside professionals. So the score is just incredibly expansive, beautiful, dynamic. But then you have so much room for some gorgeous choreography and explorative dance. And we're very excited that we have Jessica Cadden-Wentlent, who was a very well-known dancer in our area, who's gone on to become a Rockette and dance for a number of national tours. She's doing a great job of choreographing. And then the story is just so heavy. And, you know, I love Oklahoma. I love The Sound of Music. But that's programming that our area is often exposed to. And I feel like it's a great badge of honor to be able to explore this really challenging piece with such an open company, but also to be able to share it with our community. One of the highlights for my career was when we did a production of Gypsy, which a lot of youth ensemble students weren't familiar with. And so the excitement of hearing the gasps and the shrieks and the surprise and the actual groaners from these kids during that show was such an exciting part. And I know Lizzie and I reflect a lot when we were kids, what we would like if we were there, and just to know that we're able to sort of walk a lot of people through the musical theater canon has been a really sort of lovely opportunity and honor for us.
And you will find that with the youth ensemble, that they probably won't have a clue about Carousel.
We're going to break a lot of hearts with Carousel. And I think students think they know Jesus Christ Superstar, but I think Mara Molloy's interpretation will absolutely shock them. I have no doubt that they will walk away with a different perception of it, especially with it being in a church. I think will hit home in an interesting way.
I love the fact that people have a chance, if they miss it when it opens, you do that kind of recap weekend.
It's true. So a lot of people have weddings or they go away on vacation during the year. And we found that, you know, the locals tend to come more when the show runs and it's in its first run. But there are people who will let us know, I'm not going to be able to see it this week, but I'll be there to see it at the end. And also, not only is it good for that reason in a practical sense, it allows the out-of-towners, family and friends and partners to be able to come spend a weekend in Scranton, help stimulate the economy, stay at a hotel, go to eat at restaurants in between shows. So that's a wonderful thing, that they don't have to pick which show they want to see, but they can come and see a full spectrum of work from, you know, the person they're coming to support. And then finally, the really exciting thing for me as a director is just how much the roles grow when you revisit them. So the way Carousel is going to be at the start of this season, and then these actors who are playing lovers in one show, and then enemies in the next show, and then best friends in the show after that, and then another. And then finally, to come back to those very first relationships, there's just the well is just so much more deep. And also, too, there is this sort of beautiful thing in theater that it's so ephemeral. Once you close it, you normally don't get that chance to revisit. So there is that sort of like one last hurrah to it in the rep weekend that just sort of adds a special subtext in the room. And, you know, you also can feel that everyone else sort of feels that the summer is coming to an end and everyone's going to head back home, wherever that may be in the United States of America. And so there's just like a little bit more of a sentimental glow to that particular weekend.
But the audience love it too, right? The repeat nature of the ensemble company. Oh, we saw you in this and now we're seeing you in that. And you see those interactions between the audience and the cast when they come out. And it's like, oh, you were great in this one. We loved you in Hairspray, but we'd never seen you do that. Like, there's a relationship that's built there that's really special, especially for people who are actors coming in from out of town, connecting with the community that's here. It's really lovely to see.
Do you ever get a chance, you're so busy, do you ever get a chance to poke your nose in or your head in and at rehearsals and see what's going on?
Yes. Yeah, it's magical. I mainly try to wait, though, because I like to come and see them all, because I will go away for a while and I'll come back on the rep weekend and I'll see them all. And it's great. It's lovely.
And tell us what you're finding already in this years student actors. What are they taking to? Do they like, do they get Much Ado? Do you have to get them over the language?
It's been interesting because Much Ado About Nothing has most of the prose of any of the Shakespeare's. And I've actually found that it's been the hardest to teach because the language of the verse and the poetry flows and is rhythmic and is almost more like learning music. And I find that the kids that are used to doing musical theater and learning music are actually more akin and able to learn Shakespeare and understand it quicker. But the prose requires almost an extra layer of translation in a way that I personally wasn't expecting. And so that's been really fun. I think also our students, you know, as many do, they experience sitting down reading it as a novel in an English class would be. And to have them put it up on its feet and actually have to emote it has been really special. I mean, this is like a rom-com. It's perfect for summer. It's very exciting and really relatable to, I think, a bunch of teenagers who also experience summer drama and friendships and, you know, romance and all of that. I think they have related to it much more than they expected to.
Tell us about The Rabbit and Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, it's written by the same composer and lyricist team that wrote Spring Awakening, which it was really impactful experience for me with Shakes, probably one of the most impactful artistic experiences I've ever had. And our students really gravitated towards Spring Awakening. Those who came and saw that production, I had a lot of students audition this year that said Spring Awakening was what made them want to do this show in particular, was that they were very excited that we were doing one that was a little more, you know, child student appropriate. So I'm really excited. I think it has great themes of war and grief and has a lot of things surrounding literacy that I'm excited to explore. I think our community has a really robust literary community now. You know, between all of our colleges, we have a bunch of local bookstores in Scranton now. I'm excited to see kind of how we can maybe collaborate with those entities. And I think our students especially are such actively engaged citizens with our community that I think they'll love working on a piece that aids that.
You mentioned some sort of anniversary party, didn't you?
The gala. We'll be hosting a gala. It's going to be entitled XV for the 15th season. And it's going to be at Sergei's at Atera in downtown Scranton. Very excited, open for everyone. And we've got a number of exciting alumni performers returning to do some of their iconic performances from the past. We're going to have an auction as well, some light snacks, and you can get tickets online at scrantonshakes.com.
Mark your calendar for all of the productions and the gala. The gala will take place on Sunday, and that's July 26th. At Sergei's in Scranton. And the list of the shows will be available online. I'll read out to you what you've just heard, but rather than try to remember it all, this is just a way to park it in your sensibility. But we did hear from Michael Bradshaw Flynn, who is founding artistic director of the Scranton Shakespeare Festival, Jonathan Stevens, managing director, and Lizzie Newcomb-Gamula, who is Director of Education. It's the 15th summer season this year, and we had a chance to watch the young ones as they did Much Ado About Nothing. They've completed their run with that, but it will be back at the end of the season for that rep weekend. Coming up next, this Friday, this weekend, is Carousel, and that's, of course, book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II, music by Richard Rodgers, directed by Michael Bradshaw Flynn. And the performance will take place at the Church of the Good Shepherd. So it's this Friday, June 26th at 7:30, Saturday the 27th at 2 and 7:30, and Sunday, June 28th at 1 o'clock, and it will be back for the rep weekend. Also, you have a chance to take in St. Joan, George Bernard Shaw's play. The Shakespeare at the Marketplace at Steamtown is the site of that production, and that's July 2nd through the 5th. That will be back for the rep weekend. Henry V by Shakespeare, and that will be produced at the Shakespeare at the Marketplace at Steamtown, and it's July 10th through the 12th, back for the rep weekend. Jesus Christ Superstar will be held at the Church of the Good Shepherd, and that's July 17th through the 19th, and it will be back for the rep weekend.
And then Alice by Heart will be at the Church of the Good Shepherd, July 30th, 31st, August 1st, and 2nd. For more information about the 15th anniversary season of the Scranton Shakespeare Festival, scrantonshakes.com, scrantonshakes.com. And this Friday, the 26th at 7:30, it's Carousel.